So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 12, the birth of Emperor Parikshit, and we are on verse number 15. It's on page 25 of the Green Book. Tam uchur brahmanas tushta. Rajanam prashrayanvitam. Esha hyasmin prajatantau. Purunang pauravarshabha. Tam uchur brahmanas tushta. Rajanam prashrayanvitam. Esha hyasmin prajatantau. Purunang pauravarshabha. Tam uchur brahmanas tushta. Rajanam prashrayanvitam. Esha hyasmin prajatantau. Purunang puravarshabha. Tam uchur brahmanas tushta. Rajanam prashrayanvitam. Esha hyasmin prajatantau. Purunang pauravarshabha. Tam uchur brahmanas tushta. Rajanang prashrayanvitang. Esha hyasmin prajatantau. Purunang pauravarshabha. Tamuchu brahmanas tushta. Rajanang prashrayanvitam. Esha hyasmin prajatantau. Purunang pauravarshabha. Tamuchu brahmanas tushta. Rajanam prashrayanvitam. Esha hyasmin prajatantau. Purunang pauravarshabha. Anyone else? People from the... Anyone? Is there anyone on the over the internet watching? Online? On the phone?
If there is anyone on the phone line, you can unmute yourself and speak at any time today. Just star 6 to unmute.
Okay, I guess not then. Tam unto him. Uchuh addressed. Brahmanaha, the learned Brahmanas. Tushtaha, very much satisfied. Rajanam, unto the king. Prashraya anvitam, very much obliging. Eshaha, this, he, certainly. Asmin, in the chain of. Prajatantau, descending line. Purunam, of the Purus. Pauravarshabha, the chief among the Purus. Translation. The learned Brahmanas, who were very satisfied with the charities of that of the king, addressed him as the chief amongst the Purus and informed him that his son was certainly in the line of descent from the Purus. Please repeat. The learned Brahmanas, who were very satisfied with the charities of the king, addressed him as the chief amongst the Purus, and informed him that his son was certainly in the line of descent from the Purus. So there's no purport, so we'll go on to the next text. Daivena prati. I'll just read it. Daivena prati katena shukle sangstam upeyushi rato vonugrahartaya vishnuna prabhavishnuna. Daivena, by supernatural power. I'll just read it. Apratikatena, by what is irresistible, shukle, unto the pure, sangstam, destruction, upeyushi, having been enforced, rataha, restored, vaha, for you, anugraha, arthaya, for the sake of obliging, vishnuna, by the all-pervasive Lord, prabhavishnuna, by the all-powerful. Translation. The Brahmanas said, this spotless son has been restored by the all-powerful and all-pervasive Lord Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, in order to oblige you. He was saved when he was doomed to be destroyed by an irresistible supernatural weapon. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The child Parikshit was saved by the all-powerful and all-pervasive Vishnu, Lord Krishna, for two reasons. The first reason is that the child in the womb of his mother was spotless due to his being a pure devotee of the Lord. The second reason is that the child was the only surviving male descendant of Puru, the pious forefather of the virtuous King Yudhishthir. The Lord wants to continue the line of pious kings to rule over the earth as his representatives for the actual progress of a peaceful and prosperous life. After the battle of Kurukshetra, even up to the next generation of Maharaj Yudhishthir was annihilated, and there was none who could generate another son in the great royal family. Maharaj Parikshit, the son of Abhimanyu, was the only surviving heir apparent in the family, and by the irresistible supernatural Brahmastra weapon of Ashvatthama, he was forced to be annihilated. Lord Krishna is described herein as Vishnu, and this is also significant. Lord Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, does the work of protection and annihilation in his capacity of Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is the plenary expansion of Krishna. We were talking about these things earlier. The all-pervasive activities of the Lord are executed by him in his Vishnu feature. Child Parikshit is described here as spotlessly white because he is an unalloyed devotee of the Lord. Such unalloyed devotees of the Lord appear on the earth just to execute the mission of the Lord. The Lord desires the conditioned souls hovering in the material creation to be reclaimed to go back home, back to Godhead. And thus he helps them by preparing the transcendental literatures like the Vedas, by sending missionaries of saints and sages, and by deputing his representative, the spiritual master. Such transcendental literatures, missionaries, and representatives of the Lord are spotlessly white because the contamination of the material qualities cannot even touch them. They are always protected by the Lord when they are threatened with annihilation. Such foolish threats are made by the gross materialists. The Brahmastra, which was thrown by Ashvatthama at the child Parikshit, was certainly supernaturally powerful, and nothing of the material world could resist its force of penetration. But the all-powerful Lord, who is present everywhere, within and without, could counteract it by his all-powerful potency just to save a bona fide servant of the Lord and descendant of another devotee, Maharaj Yudhishthir, who was always obliged by the Lord, by his causeless mercy. So now we'll sing Mangalacharanam, which is at the last yellow tab. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritang Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtang Sthapitang Yena Bhutale Swayang Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Cha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Let's do these slowly, these eight verses glorifying Srila Prabhupada. Shri Shri Navadvipa Parapradipaha Sandipyamana Satato Bhuviha Chetastamohanti Hiyasya Yatnat Tankirtayama Prabhupada Devam Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Prachodita Shri Vyasadya Koshan Kushalang Kripalahu Sanmlecha Vagdesha Chayedadadyas Tankirtayama Prabhupada Devam Achadyate Yat Paratarkshadrishya Govinda Murtyujvala Bhaskarena Advaiti Kadyota Kulang Jagatyang Tankirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Yasyaiva Tatnena Purana Raja Ganga Malakeshava Keli Hangsa Satstotra Ratna Vahati Haloke Tankirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Shri Radhika Krishna Padaravinde Sahasra Hritsu Shatamandreshu Aproropayadyo Madhure Prativyang Tankirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Kaushalya Dairyasya Sahasra Shastra Sahasrat Vaishai Pratihanyatehi Chandakaler Moha Chamurhatena Tankirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Nanala Sadgaura Sudha Prakasha Palakshita Sthapita Eva Yena Krishnanuchinta Jana Sangha Vrikshas Tankirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Yo Nityada Jivati Daivakishu Nijasu Sikasu Tusanugami Kripam Budhir Nanda Shutashutatma Tankirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Dinamine Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdhaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryojvala Premadhyaya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvandaharine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambhara Sambhode Padambhujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Surupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gauravir Bhava Bhumestvang Nirishta Sajjana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarva Bhomak Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Bancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatang Surato Pangor Mamamanda Matergati Matsarvasvapadam Bhojao Radha Madana Mohanao Divya Vrindaranya Kalpatrumadha Srimad Ratnagara Singhasanastau Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devau Prashtali Bhiksevyamanau Smarami Sriman Rasara Sarambhi Vangshivata Tathakstitaha Karshan Venu Svanayar Gopir Gopinata Shriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindayaye Tulsi Devyaye Priyaye Keshavashyacha Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi Satya Bhattyaye Namo Namaha Shri Nishringha Jaya Nishringha Jaya Jaya Nishringha Prahadesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Matsamo nasti papatma na paradhi chakashchana parihare pilajame king bruve purushottama yuvati nang yata yuni yunang cha yuvatau yata manobhi ramate tadvan manome ramatang twai bhumaus kalita padanang bhumire vavalambanam twai jata paradhanam twameva sharanang prabho Govinda Vallabhe Radhe Prarthaye Twamahang Sada Twadiyam Miti Janatu Govindo Mang Twayasaha Radhe Vrindavanadhishe Karunamrita Vahini Kripaya Nijapadabja Dasyang Mahyang Pradiyatam Vande Nanda Vajastrinang Padarenum Abhikshnashaha Yasang Hari Katot Gitang Punati bhuvanatrayam nama shreshtang manum apisachi putram matra surupam shri rupam tasyagrajamuru purim maturingoshtavatim radha kundam girivaram mahoradhika madhavashang prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurung tang natosmi adadanas trinang dante idang yache punak punaha Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Rajohang Shyam Bhave Bhave Hantayam Madhrir Abala Haridasya Varyo Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parasha Pramodaha Manang Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tayoryat Paniya Suya Vasakandara Kandamulai Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So last week we heard that upon the birth of his glorious grandson, the heir of the dynasty, King Yudhishthir, who knew all the principles of religion and knew when and where to give charity, gave valuable charity to the learned brahmanas who were present and pleased them in all respects, giving them gold, land, villages, elephants, horses, good food, grains. And so now the system is so nice, it's a reciprocal system. It's not that brahmanas just sit there and collect charity and then eat, drink, and be merry and enjoy life. But they have a duty too. Everyone in Varnashram society has some duty to perform for the welfare of all and to please, ultimately to please Krishna, Sangsidhir Haritoshanam. So their duty of the brahmanas is to give spiritual knowledge to all citizens and all the living beings, and especially to the saintly kings like King Yudhishthir, to give them guidance in how they can act for the proper maintenance of the state and the good welfare of all the people. So upon receiving this charity, naturally there is some reciprocation. It's so nice, there's always reciprocation. And the reciprocation is that then they give wise counsel and spiritual, compose spiritual hymns praising the birth of King Parikshit Maharaj and explaining the spiritual truth about his appearance. And so here they're mentioning two things, that he has, even though Ashwatthama had sent an invincible weapon to kill him, By material calculations, this Brahmastra sent by Ashwatthama was invincible. It burned the womb of Uttara, but Krishna in the womb, appeared in the womb, and deflected it. And this is really a miracle. The Brahmanas are saying that this is the weapon was invincible, but even an invincible weapon can be defeated by Krishna. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. All the laws of nature are working under his direction. So there's no law that can bind Krishna. People who don't believe in miracles generally are called atheists. They don't think that Krishna is above, or anyone is above, these laws of nature. Everything is just being carried out by laws of nature, and that's the entire truth of it. Actually, the laws of nature are there. Krishna arranges the world in such a way that there are regular. We can see there are regular patterns. If you do this, that will happen. This effect will come from that cause, and people can study those causes and effects and how things go in the ordinary course. But higher than that is understanding of the source of those rules. Just like in the government, the king will promulgate some rules, or the legislature will promulgate some rules, and the president will sign them or whatever. But some laws will be made, but the laws are not absolute. There's actually a government who's establishing the laws, enforcing them, and can repeal them or grant a pardon. A governor can grant, someone may by the laws be convicted of a crime and be sentenced by a judge, and then the president can say, nevertheless, out of mercy, something happened, we want to give mercy to certain prisoners and we'll let him go. So there's someone above the law. There has to be a person above the laws. We learned in law school, of course, in a democracy, we say this is a government of laws, not of men. The idea being that when tyrants are in charge of the state, then they need to be restrained by some moral principles. And so the saintly kings also are restrained, or they restrain themselves. Kings like Yudhishthira Maharaj, they restrain themselves by following the laws of Dharma, and especially because they're servants of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Welcome. So, but we cherish this in democratic philosophy. We cherish this contrary idea that it's a government of laws and not of men. Even the king is not above the law. Of course, the king is above the law of the state, but he's not above the law of Krishna. An ideal king must always follow the laws of Krishna. And if he thinks that he's superior to Krishna, and then there's no law other than him, then he's what Krishna describes as demon in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. That's the nature of demons and the demoniac kings. So to avoid there being demoniac kings, Krishna wanted one of his devotees to become a king, and also he wanted to carry out the line of the Puru dynasty. After, as we read in the purport, after the Battle of Kurukshetra, the sons of Draupadi, the five sleeping, they were heroes, but they were asleep. It was not time for combat, and that same Ashwatthama, thinking that he would. Thinking that he would please his master Duryodhana, actually did something against the laws of chivalrous combat. He, surprise attacked them in their sleep and murdered them, rather than giving them a chance to defend themselves as heroes and fight in, chivalrous combat. And so there was no one to carry on the line of King Yudhishthira, the line of King Pandu, and going back the dynasty of King Puru, except for the embryo, the fetus in the womb of Uttara, that was Arjuna's grandson, the son of Abhimanyu, who had also been defeated very heroically, fighting against all the Maharathas who had surrounded him in a in a formation that he couldn't get out of, called a Chakravyuha. So this was the only king left. So Krishna had two purposes, saying here, for protecting Parikshit. One is that he was a pure devotee, and the other was that he was the surviving male descendant of the line. So Krishna has his purposes to fulfill. Although the material nature is working under his direction, by his glance, he allows material nature to go on. He has created the world, as I said before, as a place for the atheists, and he allows it to go on. And sometimes the atheists defeat the theists, sometimes the demons defeat the devotees, sometimes, or the demigods, yeah. Sometimes the principles of religion decline, deteriorate, but Krishna's promise is that he returns again and again to set things right. And because he, although he doesn't interfere, he's neutral. Right? What's the verse in its ninth chapter? Name dvesya stina priyaha. How does it start? Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dvesya asti na priyaha ye bhajanti tu mam bhakta mayite teshu chapyaham. So he's neutral. He allows, as they surrender to me, I reward accordingly. This means that if they don't surrender to him, he rewards them by letting them have the illusion of independence. Actually, we're not independent. Everything is dependent on him. But if we want to feel independent, he allows us to be an illusion and think we're independent and suffer in that way. That very thing is suffering by itself. We think of material enjoyment and material suffering as two different things, but as long as they're material, as long as they're not in connection with Krishna, it's all suffering, really. So does it mean he's not kind, that he allows, you know, only a neglectful parent would allow his child to do something against their best interest? And the child doesn't want to go to school. Okay, you don't have to go to school. You can just play and eat cotton candy as much as you want. And, you know, no, that wouldn't be a kind child. So, but Krishna allows that in his manifestation of neutrality, in his impersonal feature, or his super soul feature. But as Krishna himself, he come and intervene and say, sending his representatives or coming as an avatar and setting things right, because the whole creation is there to give a place for those in ignorance to carry out their ignorant activities or karma, but also to reclaim them. This is his higher desire, his internal desire. The devotees know that desire. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada was always on fire to deliver the fallen souls, deliver the chanting of Hare Krishna to them, deliver the books, distribute the books to them, and get them to read the books and understand the books, get them to see the deities, worship the deities, take prasadam, and associate with devotees and have loving exchanges of friendship with devotees, so they could become faithful and take up again their original nature as pure devotees of the Lord. So we see that the other reason was that he wanted the seminal line of the Puru dynasty to continue. Actually, we understand from Srila Prabhupada that important thing in the prosecution of Varnashram duties is that those who do the different occupations actually have to have the qualities to perform those occupations. But in olden times, it was generally found that those born in the families that were in which those particular traditions and cultures and occupations were practiced also were born with the qualities, the karma, the right kind. You know, you have to have a body. You know, nobody's going to be a championship pole vaulter if they have no arms and legs. You know, sometimes someone is born without arms and legs, so they can't do that kind of work. They might do other kinds of work, but you know, they can't. So you have to have the qualities, the right kind of body, in order to do different kinds of work. In better times, when things went more naturally in the world, it was simpler that the new king would be elected selected from among the children of the retiring king, and you wouldn't have to have campaign finance reform and big political campaigns and all kinds of lies being told in the political campaigns to try to elect the next ruler of the government, the head of state, but rather there would be a natural transfer of power, and it would be stable because you had to be of royal blood, you had to be in the proper line, and people would like that. Of course, in Kali Yuga, many times the child of the king doesn't really have the qualities to be a good king. And even if they know... I mean, that's another thing, is that if in this system of inheritance of political authority, that the child can be trained from the time, you know, from the time they're born, the children of the royal family can be trained in the rules of royal etiquette and religion, niti, the dharma of how to properly govern the kingdom for the welfare of all the citizens. Everybody has their duties. Actually, to be a member of a royal family, even today, you know, the British royal family, and there's always talking about them in the tabloid press and things like that. And it becomes difficult. I mean, Diana married into this family, and then it was so hard for her. She was always in the spotlight, being chased around and things like that. So there's duties that go with being king. And the British royal family, of course, there's a parliamentary system, and they have very few actual duties as far as governing the country. I mean, maybe they set the tone as titular heads of state or something like that, and they're also heads of the Church of England, but it's not something that they any longer have a lot of power to independence to take an active role in saying, well, I've decided that the Church of England should all chant Hare Krishna now. They probably wouldn't be allowed to do that, although you don't know. It's interesting, though, that I read in the Lilamrita, I was very surprised at that Srila Prabhupada, when he... You know, he went to see Indira Gandhi once and the state of emergency had just started. She had declared martial law, and she was distracted. He could see she was very distracted, and she didn't spend much time with him. And then later, she wanted to see him while he was in Vrindavan preparing to leave. And then at that time, he said, no, a sannyasi can't see a sitting head of state, it's not proper, you know, something. So he actually declined to meet with her that second time. The first time he had some things that he wanted to appeal to her for, to spreading the Krishna consciousness movement around the world. And one thing was for visas for his Western students to be able to come, and, you know, some different things. But he had some talking points that he didn't bring up with her. And Satsarup Das Goswami had found like scribbled notes of things that he was going to present to her, and then he didn't present. And I was very surprised to read it. One of the things was he was going to say, make India a monarchy, you know, and make your son Sanjaya to be the king. Now, Sanjaya was a big rascal, right? I mean, he was forced sterilizations, he was harassing the sadhus and doing all kinds of things. But anyway, that's in the Lilamrita, you'll see that. I don't know. But he never actually said it, and you don't know whether he was actually going to say it or whatever, but it was found among his notes that he had written that she should reestablish this idea that rather than electing a prime minister and a president, they could have a king of India. But anyway, that he was going to bring that up, they said. I was surprised at that. But the system actually, for thousands of years, it actually did work. But in Kali Yuga, it may not work very well because the people lack the qualities. And if you have some, you know, a royal family and they don't have a qualified son, and then they put some idiot on the throne and the advisors can't control them, or some cruel person. Even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there was an example of King Vena, and he was very cruel and demonic, and he just terrorized everybody. So the Brahmins had to chant mantras, and then he died. And then from churning his body, King Prithu was born, and the ideal king. At any rate, it is a system that's gone on in many, many countries, and only in the recent history has it been replaced by popular elections. Even in the history of the United States, when they first had elections, it was only landholding gentry that would be able to elect people. Also in England, when they had the parliamentary election, they kept expanding the vote. I remember sometime in the Victorian period, they had universal suffrage was passed by the by the Liberal Party, Mr. Gladstone, and I forget what it was. There was a cartoon in Punch, and I forget how it went now. But one of them was saying, Disraeli was saying, "Thank you, Mr. Gladstone," or Mr. Gladstone was saying, "Thank you, Mr. Disraeli." But the idea was that the Tory Party had manipulated the Liberal Party into universal suffrage, or vice versa. I forget it. But anyway, that was just in the, you know, 120 years ago or something like that, 130 years ago, that they finally started letting everyone vote in England. Before that, you had to have sufficient property to be allowed to vote. And in the United States, there was a racist system, especially in the South. And even in my lifetime, there was a big movement and a lot of actual violence and riots and things like that to get people to actually allow blacks to vote in the United States or in certain states of the United States. There were laws, there were poll taxes and different kinds of tests, literacy tests that could be manipulated by the people at the polling station when you go in to vote, that they could use to because they were afraid, you know, in their old feudal system that had survived after the Civil War had abolished slavery legally. They were afraid to let the citizens of the black race to vote in the United States. So this was a big struggle during my lifetime in the 50s and 60s. They had freedom riders going down in buses. Anyway, I digress. Krishna wanted to, he had two desires. He wanted to have a pure devotee be saved, and he also wanted to preserve the line of pious kings to rule over the earth. Now the pure devotee, Maharaj Parikshit, had another great important thing to do in the mission of the Lord, because he was the questioner, the listener, the examiner of Shukadeva Goswami in the appearance of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which after Krishna's disappearance, we've heard Krishna Svatamo Pakate Dharma Gyana Libisaha Kalo Nashtra Shami Shampura Anarko Dinoditaha, that the after Krishna's disappearance, all of the principles of religion and all the good qualities of Lord Krishna, who was maintaining while he was present on the earth, auspiciousness existed on the earth. But when Krishna disappeared from the earth, then where did all the auspiciousness go? So Suta Goswami is telling the sages of Naimisharanya, don't worry, Krishna is still here in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So by discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, as we're doing today, we're also maintaining the presence of Krishna on the earth and maintaining some of the auspiciousness on the earth. But this is the transcendental desire of the Lord, that he desires the conditioned souls hovering in the material creation to be reclaimed, to go back to Godhead. Thus he helps them by preparing the transcendental literatures, like the Vedas and also Srimad Bhagavatam, by sending missionaries of saints and sages, by deputing his representative, the spiritual master. So he has this great desire, and that's why we go on book distribution. We're fulfilling this desire, this mission, that Krishna doesn't interfere with the will of the living entity, but the saints, they know his higher desire is that he wants them to be reminded that they should only desire to serve him. They should surrender to him. They should, and if they do that, it will be in their best interest. It will be good for the world. It will be good for everyone. Peace and justice and harmony will prevail in the world if everyone becomes devotees. And if they turn their back on devotional service of Krishna, eventually these demonic qualities will come out. The idea of wanting your own children to... Naturally, everyone wants good for their own children, and if they're kripanas, if they're not liberal in heart, they'll want... regardless of how good their children are or how bad they are and how good other people are and things like that, they'll want to secure a good station for their children. Therefore, we see for example, in the kingdom of the demon Hiranyakashipu, the spiritual master also of Bali Maharaj, the daityas themselves, their family demon, their family guru was Shukracharya. The name Shukracharya indicates the concern of just preserving Hare Krishna. Welcome. Harivol. Satyadev is here. So Shukracharya, Shukra means semen, and it means preserving the seminal line, that your own descendants should be respected and served and treated with the quality due to people of your station, even if they don't have the qualities, even if they don't have the right qualities. But actually, the system is that they have to have the right qualities. Otherwise, if they're dvija bandhus, they might be born in a family of twice born upper classes of society. But if they don't actually have the qualities, just like we saw Ashwatthama, and this is the problem of Kali Yuga. Ashwatthama was the son of a great Brahmin, Dronacharya. But what was his quality? He performed these activities like killing the sleeping sons, which even disgusted Duryodhana, killing the sleeping sons of Draupadi and trying to kill Parikshit while he was in the womb by using a Brahmastra weapon, which is a weapon that's only... supposed to be used by people of great power, Brahmins and Kshatriyas with great spiritual depth. They should know how to withdraw it. They should know not to use it improperly. But it was available. I guess Drona had taught his son to use this weapon. But he used it improperly. And therefore he was... although from a family of brahmanas, and therefore not to be killed, as we learned in the seventh chapter, he was still not to be accepted as a qualified brahmana. But the royal line of King Puru was full of great, highly qualified people, and so the brahmanas are praising the birth of Parikshit Maharaj, saying that he is actually a pure devotee and the great hero, and full of all the great qualities that we come to expect of a king in the line of the Pandavas, in the line of King Puru. And the Kuru dynasty, Kuru Nandana, what is Krishna's always talking about, Bharata, scion of Bharata. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is always using these names for Arjuna, referring to his lineage in this great family. So it was a great family. I don't know. I was thinking today, what happened to that family? Are there any descendants? Maybe some of you know whether there's any descendants of King Parikshit. His own grandson was Janmanjaya, who had performed the sacrifice to kill all the snakes, because his grandfather had been killed by a snake, Takshak, the snake bird, that had been brought about by the curse of Sringi. So he performed a sacrifice to kill all the snakes, and then they had to stop him, and because it wasn't the Lord's desire that all the snakes die. But at that time, the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which we have a 3-volume set there, was spoken. Jaimini Rishi explained to Janmanjaya what Parikshit Maharaj had said to his mother after the 7-day recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam had been completed, but before Parikshit Maharaj passed away. But after Janmanjaya, there were some more kings, but I don't know what happened to that that particular line. Does anybody know? I don't know. So Lord Vishnu is the plenary expansion of Krishna. The all-pervasive activities of the Lord are executed by him in his Vishnu feature. So we were talking about that earlier today. Krishna himself, he manifests his full qualities, his full range of emotional exchanges, bhavas, emotional rasas that he exchanges with devotees in Goloka, or when he brings the whole atmosphere of Goloka to the earth in his manifestation in Braj, in Vrindavan area. But when he's acting as the all-pervading preserver of the universe, then he's acting through his expansion Vishnu. And many of those activities are taken care of by Vishnu. Haribol Sachidev Prabhu. Oh. Over at... Is it a meeting or there's Bhakti Life people coming? Oh, cool. Good. Have a good one. Are we invited? I'd have to change my clothes, right? All right. Is it starting now at 10 o'clock? Okay. Very good. Do you visitors from Rupanuga Vedic College, do you know about the Bhakti Life program? What we're doing is, this is being pioneered by Mahatma Prabhu and by Vaishika here. And what we've been doing is we've been going on like Yahoo groups and things like that and finding people who have an interest in yoga and kirtan, but who might not ordinarily come to a Hare Krishna temple, or they might feel a little out of place, or, you know, because there's so many different cultural things that they don't know about they're not used to all the rules. They see other people coming in and bowing down and different things, and they might not feel particularly comfortable here. But we're inviting them to someone's house where we chant Hare Krishna with them. We teach them to cook some prasad, and we make friends with them. We've met a lot of nice people who are really attached to coming to these Bhakti Life programs. And then we'll have to, you know, gradually bring them also to the temple and out on book distribution and things later, you know, get them more involved in the books. We find it's another kind of outreach program, because we're finding that just inviting people to the Sunday feast or the, you know, whatever, doesn't necessarily, it's too big of a gap for a lot of the American, we're getting a lot of the hippie yoga types, but it's too much of a gap for them to jump over. The culture of the temple is puts them off maybe somehow. And they're not ready for it. So that's exciting. No, it's no disturbance at all. You're purifying us. That drum works. Some of the clay drums are a little bit slack, a little bit low. But go ahead. So does anybody, I guess we've heard a lot today. We had this. We didn't talk about the Namashtikam that we read, the eight prayers in glorification of the holy name. We've had some discussion of the Srimad Bhagavatam now. Is there any comments, discussions? Let's throw it open to a wider, more interactive discussion session. Surely somebody has some. A lot of challenging stuff. We're thinking about the system of Vedic kings and how they interacted with brahmanas. We're thinking about how Krishna has this higher desire that he doesn't interfere with the activities of the different living entities. He gives them a field of activity for them to work in illusion, but his higher desire is that they wake up and turn to him. And the devotees, knowing that desire, they go out boldly and try to convince people about the necessity of becoming devotees of Krishna and serving and pleasing Krishna as the goal of life, loving Krishna as the goal of life, prema paramartha mahan, even greater than performing all religious duties perfectly, is having real love of Krishna. And in fact, all the religious duties are just there in order to help us be in the right frame of mind so that we can actually get love of Krishna. Yes, Prabhu, microphone, please.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, just one small observation that we had. When we were reading the Krishna book, where the instance of Lord Brahma visiting Dwarka comes, and he stopped at the gate and he asked, which Lord Brahma are you? Uh-huh. But when a simple Brahmana visits, he's not stopped. He just gets entry right through Lord Krishna. You know, when
Sudama comes.
When Sudama comes, or when Rukmini sends his message, her uh-huh. message, that Brahmana has entry straight to the palace of Lord Krishna. Uh-huh. And he can have audience of Lord Krishna. But even when Lord Brahma comes, he's stopped at the gate. So
this is the supreme will of Krishna. He can do whatever he wants. He can. The idea is that you can't. Krishna is very easily approachable by anyone who approaches with love. But in that pastime, when Lord Brahma came, he was thinking he was very important. So Krishna taught him a lesson. That pastime is recounted. Hare Krishna. Are you guys you're going on Sankirtan now? Jai, downtown San Jose? Oh, Santa Cruz. Great. You go down in front of O'Neill's surf shop, or you just walk up and down Pacific Avenue? Yeah, it's a sweet spot. I like that spot. Jai, thank you. Can you take some prasadam? Okay, well, thank you for your association. Hari Bol. So, Prabhu, is that enough of an answer? It's kind of almost like a cop out that, you know, well, that's just how it happened in that time. You know, if Brahma had come humbly, we can imagine that if he came there, I mean, he had already come and stolen the boys and calves and then offered these humble prayers to Krishna in Vrindavan. But then later when he came to Dwarka, at that instance, he was coming thinking, but I'm Brahma, why won't he see me? But this is his prerogative as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can't just expect, you can't demand to see him. You know, I'm a big shot and I get to see him. You have to come with a humble mood. And he'll see who he wants to see. And also he used that opportunity to show that even Brahma, there's only one Brahma in each universe, but there's more Brahma. So he said, which Brahma? You know, the four-headed Brahma of this universe or the million-headed Brahma of some other universe? So so then that was the that was the lesson that he was teaching. But you're right, he also, the emissary from the kings who had been imprisoned by Jarasandha, they came, he let their ambassador come and ask Krishna to come liberate them. Different people would come to Sudharma assembly, and he was holding court. And at that time, when the king holds an open court or durbar, where the citizens may petition him, come and say, there's something very, you know, and they'll be allowed to speak. There's something, I have a problem with something. I think that your soldiers are asking for too much taxes, and you know, or whatever, you know, and I want you to set this right. And the king can go and set it right. And that's the tradition. We have that tradition now, has been handed down, that we have courts. And you can file a petition in court, or a complaint or something. And you go pay a filing fee, and you put it in there, and then you get someone, a process server, to hand it to someone, summons to someone else, and say, you've been ordered. But basically, the idea is you're being ordered by the government or ordered by the king. You know, in the old days, in the English system, there was King's Bench and there was the Chancellery. And they had different rules and things. But a summons means it's basically an order backed by the authority of the king to appear in some assembly and give an account. Someone is saying that the horse that you're using to plow your field really belongs to someone else, and that you've, you know, you have to return it to him or whatever. And this is... this is an extension of the idea. Not everybody could go to the main palace in the capital city and see the king himself, but he would have representatives or judges that would ride the circuit and go out to the different villages, and the king's representative would be there and deliver the king's justice in that way. There has to be a means for citizens to petition the king and say, I think that something is not going on according to the rules of Dharma, and then the king can give his judgment and say, well, you may be right. I think I should change this. I should make sure that Dharma is being properly enforced. And that's the idea of courts. But, maybe when Lord Brahma came at that time, Krishna wasn't holding open court. And even if he's holding open court, you know, you can imagine the scene. There's this big assembly house, and he has all the his retinue. We also call that a court. When a king has the society of the aristocrats that live around the king and everything like that, that's when you present yourself at court. These are old things in the English system, but they're carried over from the Vedic system. They may be a little bit different, but they'll be... society of court, just like the gopis in Vrindavan were thinking, oh, now Krishna's in Mathura and all the ladies there are the ladies of court, you know, the society ladies who have the courtly manners, they know how to behave in the city and among the kshatriyas, among the noble royal family and nobility, and how they do things. There. So they were thinking, oh, then Krishna, you know, seeing those finer ladies, the humble gopis were thinking, seeing those finer ladies and their fine manners and refined manners, and, you know, they knew all the dances that they do in the court, in the king's court, and they knew the different behavior and things. Then what? He won't care about us anymore. He'll forget about us. But actually, Krishna never forgot about them. He was always thinking of them. And their simple, honest, and very pure love. What's your name, Prabhu? I don't think it's on. Gaurakanti Das?
Yeah.
Jai.
So, Prabhuji, it also shows the importance of Brahmanas in Vedic culture, right, Prabhu? That a Brahmana can always go and meet the king. Actually, one more thing which we noticed, that even so-called demoniac kings like Jarasandha, they had very high respect for Brahmanas.
Yes.
You know, even when Pandavas, they approached Jarasandha and they begged in charity for fight,
Yeah, even they understood Vedic culture, and that, you know, someone who disrespects Brahmanas will be ruined. Bali Maharaj wanted to give something. He saw this beautiful Brahmana who was actually the personality of Godhead. He wanted to give him charity. He knew this is the system. Duryodhana also knew the system. You know, Ravana was a Brahmana, you know, but he knew all this. The rules, but their disqualification is they were enemies of Vishnu. They weren't surrendered to Vishnu. They weren't devotees of Vishnu. Ravana stole the wife of Rama. Hiranyakashipu, he also, if you read in the seventh canto, when Hiranyaksha was killed, then all the family of Hiranyakashipu, they were all family of Daityas, who are the children of Diti, right? They were Diti and Aditi. They were sisters. They were, I guess, Manu's daughters. So Diti's children became the Daityas, and they populated the part of the universe for the demons. And then Aditi's children were Adityas and demigods, Indra. And they govern over part of the universe where people obey the authority of Vishnu. Of course, even within that Daitya family, then there were great devotees like Prahlad and Bali Maharaj. So Hiranyakashipu started to console his relatives. And he started speaking Vedic philosophy. We're not this body, you know, and he told a story about how you know, a king had died, and how a Yamaraj in the form of a little boy had come in and given instructions on how death is only of the material body, and that one shouldn't lament. But his we were talking before about his guru, Shukracharya. So Shukracharya is a Brahmana, is a powerful Brahmana and a very versed in the knowledge of the Vedas, but is using it for personal gain. And he's teaching the demons how to use all this knowledge for personal gain. I mean, it's science, really. Veda means knowledge. Another word for Veda is really science, you know, knowledge. Whatever facts you accept, this is factual truth. It's how the world works. So the Brahmanas are supposed to know how the world is put together, how the modes of nature interact and produce different results. I kind of lost my train of thought. But yes, they're demonic kings who also respect the Brahminical culture, and they give charity to Brahmanas. So Jarasandha, that's how they challenged him to fight. They came dressed as Brahmanas. He could know that they weren't really Brahmanas. The Pandavas, Bhima, can you imagine Bhima dressed like a Brahmana? And they had, even because they would carry bow and arrow, they even had notches where they would carry their, you know, like their, you could see on their body where they're accustomed to carrying the bow. They couldn't cover that up. So they came to beg some charity. He said, of course you can have charity. They said, we want to fight in combat with you, one-on-one, you against Bhima. You know, all right, we'll do it. That's also dharma of kshatriyas. They can't refuse a challenge, you know, or even a gambling match. Yudhishthir, you know, he was displaying that he was so full of all the qualities of dharma. So as a member of the royal order, to be a leader, you know, you have to always be willing to take any risk. I will win any game, you know. If you want to challenge me to game of dice, all right, I'll play. And I'll wager, even though it ruined him. So this was also showing that these things are very dangerous, that intoxication, meat-eating, gambling, they can ruin people. But it's the character of a noble person to be, liberal, generous, and willing to take bold risks. And have confidence. Something else? Yeah. I wandered a lot in the... But, yeah, I think that we can understand these different pastimes. They're teaching different lessons. Krishna arranges things to happen to teach different lessons, and he can put, you know, he can use his servant Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva or Lord Indra or whoever. He can put him in a particular mentality in order to show something. Just like even Parikshit Maharaj, since we're talking about Parikshit Maharaj, he was spotless. He's described as Shukla, spotlessly white, a pure devotee. But yet, when he came to the hermitage of Sringi's father after hunting and he was thirsty, and the sage didn't receive him well because the sage was in meditation, he garlanded the sage with a snake. So that wasn't a proper thing to do. And why would a great devotee like Parikshit Maharaj do that? But it was just to make the pastime go. So Krishna, through Yoga Maya, Krishna had arranged for that, circumstance, those events to happen, so that speaking of the Srimad Bhagavatam happened under the circumstances of his being cursed. Haribo, what's her name? Radhika. Haribo, Radhika. Hare Krishna. Some other comments? All right. Grantharan Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Oh, wait. Wait, one last thing. We jumped the gun. Ramananda has something.
Anyone on the phone, please unmute your phones by pressing *6 and you may speak. This is your last call.
Last call. Last chance to say something in class. Please, we want to hear from you. Is there anybody out there on the phone we'd like to hear? Not today? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Mahaprabhu ki jai, Shri Radha Madana Mohan ki jai, Shri Lakshmi Sringadev ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.